مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has reported to have said that the one who sends salat upon me 100 times Allah Azza wa Jal will write between both his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And he, Allah Azza wa Jal, will place him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, please make an intention to recite through the park on a daily basis. Put it part of your routine. Allocate some time during the day. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, you become habitual in reciting through the park. And as we keep on saying, who knows, that one extra Durood-e Paak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of Mother Channel, today, in today's speech, inshaAllah, we're going to talk about the harms of hastiness, the harms of rushing, the harms that we can face due to haste, and the actions which are usually done hastily, the actions which would be done hastily, and many other points will be mentioned, inshaAllah. But first and foremost, we're going to give you an incident that happened in the time of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala narrated that a man came into the masjid. The beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam was sitting in the corner of the masjid. The man offered salam and he gave salam to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam gave salam to him in return and said to him, repeat your salah as you have not offered your salah. Thus he returned, offered his salah, and then he came back and he gave salam again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again returned the salah and again said to him, repeat your salah, you have not offered your salah. After the third time or even after that, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said to him, repeat your salah. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please teach me. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you stand for salah, then you perform your wuzu properly. Then face the Kaaba. Then recite the takbir. Then recite as much Quran as is easy for you. Then go into ruku until you come to a rest. Then stand to the extent that you are upright. Then go into sajda until you come to a rest. Then get up to the extent that you are seated properly. Then go into sajda to the extent that you have come to a rest. Then get up until you are seated properly and do the same in the rest of the salah. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we learn so many things from this hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, how to perform our salah. But the first thing that we learn from this is that our pious predecessors were people who acted upon the beautiful sunnah of giving salam. Regardless of how many times they met the person, they would give the salam. He went out of the room, repeated the salam, came back, give salam. Out, came back, give salam. Out, came back and give salam. And again, this is something that we are nowadays very lazy in. We'll give salam to each other, but as we depart the room and then come back, do we give salam again? Or do we even give salam the first time? Nowadays, the sunnah of giving salam, unfortunately, is not as widespread as it should be. Every Muslim should be greeting one another with salam. But instead of that, it's hello, how are you? How are you doing? You're right, mate? Everything okay? And we forget to act upon this beautiful sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first thing that we learn from this. Not only to give salam, but also whenever you depart from them, even for a few moments, when they come back again, to give salam again. The second thing that we learn from this views of Madinah is that if we come to know or if someone makes us aware of our shortcomings or our weaknesses and when they tell us our mistakes, then we should not get angry. We should be thankful that someone has corrected our mistakes or highlighted our mistakes. And if someone not happens nowadays, if someone tells us our mistakes, then we get very angry with them. Who are you to tell me? You think you're a mufti nowadays? Do you think you're a scholar nowadays that you know how to do it properly? I know how to do it properly. I learned how to do it. I went to the masjid. Someone taught me. You can't tell me how to read my namaz. This is not the attitude that we should have, and we should be thankful. We should be thankful that people are willing to rectify us, willing to correct us. But unfortunately, nowadays what happens is that people aren't thankful with that. Sayyidina Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala narrated that the person who makes me aware of my shortcomings is beloved to me. This is the mindset that we should have. We should be thankful if someone makes us aware of our shortcomings, makes us aware of our mistakes, then we should thank them. We should not tell them off. We should not think to them, who are you? I'm more superior to thee. I'm more powerful than you. I'm more pious than you. For one, we shouldn't even think that. We should never think that we're more pious than anybody else. We should never think that we're in a position of authority where we cannot be corrected. No matter how high your status is, no matter how big in the ground you are, no matter how powerful you are, how financially secure you are never perfect. And as Sayyidina Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Faruq Azam, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that the person who makes me aware of my shortcomings is beloved to me. Ala Hazrat has also said, those who are just will be grateful to the one who informs them of the correct way. The people that are just, they will be helpful, they will be thankful of people that correct them. They will be thankful of the person that corrects them, and they should do shukr to them that you have thanked me and I'm happy that you've corrected me. The third thing that we learn from this views of Mother Channel, the third thing that we learn from the hadith is that good character and gentleness play a very important role in rectification. Some Islamic brothers have the passion for their own rectification and of the entire world. They strive to rectify those who are stuck in sins, and they make both individual and a group efforts to end social ills and spread the sunnah. However, due to the harsh manner, bad character, anger, our harsh language, then instead of rectifying people, they put people off as well. So there's a method in rectifying people as well. If someone has performed the namaz incorrectly and you say to them, you've done your namaz wrong, did you not learn it? So many times we've taught you to read your namaz. How many times do I have to tell you to read your namaz properly? That's not the manner of rectifying someone, I think, brothers. You know, if someone's made a mistake, then if we rectify them with a nice tone. And it's also said, viewers of the channel, that it's, one of the blessings is that if you want to praise someone in public, but when you want to rectify them on their own. Call them to one side and say, brother, your namaz wasn't right. Brother, you didn't do this right. Brother, you didn't say this right. Brother, what you said, when you give salam to that person, you give it in such a way that he got upset by this. And tell them. And those people that tell you your problems, that tell you your mistakes, are actually your friends, viewers of Mali Channel. They're actually your friends. If they do it with good intentions and you receive it with good intentions as well. And there is a booklet called To Righteousness and another booklet called Sweet Words and the Excellence of Forgiveness and Tolerance. And these books we should read, viewers of Mali Channel, and it will give us that mindset of how we should speak to people, how we should rectify people. I'm rectifying people with sweet words, with humbleness, with a gentle character, then inshallah, as a result, they will listen. The fourth thing that we learn, viewers of the channel, is that hastiness is such a bad thing that it enters into one's worship. You know, nowadays we're rushing around, our lives are so busy, but when that hastiness or when that rush enters into ibadat, it can be a cause for us to be incomplete, and it even ruins our ibadat as well. A very small number of viewers, of Muslims viewers on the channel, offer the salah today in the proper manner. The rest of us, we're rushing. We all rush our salahs. We rush our salahs in the sense that we're so busy that we're clock watching. We think, oh, well, I've only got 2 minutes quicker to read our namaz and rush. And again, that's not how we should be reading our namaz. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst thief is the one who steals in his salah. The companions humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can a person steal in his salah? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he does not complete his ruku and he does not complete his sujood. He said, he does not straighten his back in ruku and straighten his back in sujood. Because you see people, when they're going into sajda, they don't come fully up. They're up. Literally, I've seen people, that the head comes off the ground and literally from that position, they go back down again. And again, you need to straighten up, pause for a second and then go back. And we are told that these people that do this, are stealing their salah. A summary of what Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated on the hadith. He states, and I'll read it for you, Yusuf Mutiyam. He states that the thief of salah is the worst kind of thief. Because if a person steals some money and is punished, he receives some benefit also. But the thief of salah will receive his punishment in full and he will not receive any benefit. The one who steals money violates the rights of people. Whereas the thief of salah violates the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one who steals money receives his punishment in this world and he gets protected from the punishment of the hereafter. But the matter is not the same for the thief of salah. An owner can forgive the thief of wealth in some case, but there is no way of forgiveness for the thief of salah. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, unfortunately we become neglectful. We are very neglectful in our namaz as well. We rush our namaz, our ruku, our sajda, unfortunately. And we need to remember this, viewers of the channel, that salah is fard upon us. Salah is fard upon us and we don't make sure that we try to rectify it. We think that we learnt it 20, 30 years ago, 30 years ago. When I was in the madrasa, I learnt it then. Viewers of the channel, at this time of the year, alhamdulillah, we normally people from all around the world are going to perform the Hajj. And before they go and perform the Hajj, what do they do? They go on Hajj training. They go on training camps. They read books. They watch lectures. They go on social media and watch videos to make sure everything that they need to know about how to perform the Hajj, that they're only going to maybe perform once in their life. But how many of us have attended Salah courses? How many of us have read books on how to perform our Salah? How many of us have watched videos to make sure that our Salah is perfect? We don't do it via the Money Channel. And that is something that is farzed upon us 5 times a day. Whereas Hajj is only farzed upon us once in our life. Yeah, when it comes to Hajj, we'll study, we'll sit down, we'll go and attend the training camps. Whenever the training sessions are there, whenever the Muballiks of the Islamic arrange these sessions, then people that are not even going on Hajj, they will go there to learn. But unfortunately, when we have the courses for Salah, then again, how many people attend? Because we have this mindset that, no, we're fine. We're okay. Our namaz is perfect. Got nothing to worry about. And viewers of Manchana, I humbly request you that if you hear about any of these courses, the Fazanis Namaz course, that if it's taking place in any of your localities, then please, please make an intention to join them as well. In the same way, viewers of Manchana, Amir al-Sunnah has written a book, The Laws of Salah. It's available in the English language. You can download this completely free of charge. Read that book. Study that book. Act upon that book. And if there's anything that you don't understand in that book, then try and find a Muballik of Dawud Islami or find a scholar and ask them. And try and correct your Salah. We don't want to be written, we don't want to be amongst those people, viewers of the channel, that on the day of judgment we'll be given the title of a person who stole our Salah. Just think about how embarrassing it will be on that day if we are stood up on their day of judgment and it's made an announcement, oh, stealer of Salah, come forward. How will we face ourselves that day? Allahu Akbar. But also remember this, viewers of the channel, not offering Salah can also become a means of destroying one's faith as well. So Salah is something that protects your Iman. And if you don't prepare your namaz, then you run the risk of losing your Iman. Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu ta'ala, saw a man who was not completing his ruku and sujood whilst offering Salah. And he said to him, if you were to die in the state of offering Salah the way you are offering, then you will not die on the way of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the narration, in another narration, it says that he asked, how long have you been offering Salah like this? And he replied, for 40 years I've been offering my Salah like this. He said to him, you have not offered a Salah at all for 40 years. And if you were to die in this state, then you will not die on the religion of Islam. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we need to make sure that we don't rush things. You know, all our lives, we rush things. Whatever we're doing, we're rushing. And as a result of rushing, there are many consequences that we face. And we need to make sure that at least we use in our mother channel, on our namaz and our ibadat, that we don't rush that as well. And like I said earlier on, make sure that you download the book, Laws of Salah. Read that book, study that book, and implement that book in your life. And at least every household should have that book. And I pray that every household can sit around as they gather together for 7 minutes a day, 12 minutes a day, read the book together, understand the book together, and act upon it as well. But viewers of Mother Channel, also, if we rush in anything in our lives, whatever we do in our lives, if we have a habit of being hasty, of rushing our things, then a lot of harm can come to us in many, many different ways. And just to give you, first of all, hastiness, viewers of Mother Channel, rushing is disliked from Allah Azza wa Jalla, is disliked. And it is from Shaitan. Those things which are complete become ruined due to, if you're rushing something, then they become ruined. It may make a person face failures, because when you're rushing to do something, you can fail at that task. It can become a reason for someone to forget certain things. It can ruin one's honor and dignity. One that is made to apologize and again due to, if you're rushing something, because you are rushing, you're making mistakes. When you're making mistakes, then you're continuously apologizing for the mistakes that you've made. And it can actually, if you are rushing in doing something, rushing to do something can actually become an obstacle in your success. It can cause one to become embarrassed before others. It makes a wealthy person penniless. A person can lose all the wealth if they are rushing and not making rash decisions. It is due to that that a person is also deprived of his rights. If you are rushing, then your rights can be taken away from you. It can make a person, if you are rushing via the Money Channel, it can make a person reach a hospital bed. It can take a person to the jaws of death. It can take a person to the grave if he is rushing. If he is hasty in things, it can ruin, as we said earlier on, it can ruin a person's salah and other acts of worship, like fasting, like hajj, like your qurbani, if you're rushing them. People in the morning at sari time, they're rushing to eat, they got up late and they're rushing and they don't realize that they've carried on eating after the time of sari. Or they're rushing to open the fast because they need to get somewhere, so they open it before the time of fast. And again, they've lost that ibadat. Same with your qurbani, same with your hajj, same with all your ibadat. If you rush with them, then you can run the risk of losing the benefits of them. Hastiness Rushing can also break relationships. It can cause a loss to others. It becomes the reason of doing one thing over and over again, due to which other tasks get delayed because you're trying to repeat that task. You're rushing at it. You've not done it right. You have to do it again. Not done it right. You have to do it again. Not done it right. Do it again. And because of that, you're not been able to perform the other tasks. So rushing can be a cause of destruction in so many different ways. So we need to make sure that we're not hasty with Zimli Chow. It can cause others to lose trust in you. Because if you're not completing the task that was given to you, you're making mistakes, and then people will not think you of a trustworthy person. Because you're rushing in your actions. One does not attain the desired goals and targets, the targets that you have in your life. Yes, you want to achieve them. Yes, you want to get there. But if you rush, if you're hasty, you'll make rash decisions, you'll slip up on the way, you'll make mistakes, and you won't reach where you want to reach. Even if you're reading a book, viewers of the channel, even if you're reading an Islamic book, and if you're rushing through it, and you know they have the saying of speed reading, that people can look at a page and just flick through it and flick through it. If you speed read a book, you could miss very, very important rulings. And the knowledge that you have gained, rather than giving good knowledge, you've gained incomplete knowledge, and as a result of acting upon that, then again, you're going to make incorrect judgments. And in many, many ways, viewers of the channel, rushing at things can cause a destruction. So really what we need to do is whenever we're doing things, we need to do things in such a way that, yes, we ensure that we have enough time to complete the task. We complete the task, but we don't try and rush things. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Bani Israel, verse 11, and sometimes man prays for evil just as he seeks goodness, and man is very hasty. Allahu Akbar. Under the above mentioned verse, it is stated in Tafsir Sirat al-Jinan, it is stated at the end of this verse that man is very hasty. If we keep this in view, then it will remind us of a lot of people in our society who are unduly hasty in both religious and worldly examples. For example, in wudu, in salah, in travi, performing hajj rites, recitation of the Holy Quran, fasting, ritual sacrifice, acceptance of du'as, making du'as against another, labeling someone a sinner. Again, we have this rush that we make presumptions on people that we do not know the complete story. We do not know what someone has done. We don't know what he's done it or not done, but we label him. We label him, no, he did that. It's his fault. Yeah. It's his fault. He definitely did it. We've not even investigated. We've not looked into the matter. We've rushed to a decision and said, no, it's his fault. And again, just think of the destruction that that can cause. But you are putting this label on someone that he is at fault. And possibly you're putting the label on someone that he is a sinner. And now it is even to the extent we put the label on people that they have left the fold of Islam when we've not even checked into the situation. So rushing can also cause problems. It can cause quarreling, as he goes on to say in Tafsir Silat al-Jannan. It says, when not receiving something despite seeking it, forming an opinion, quarreling with others, becomes angry at others, making a judgment against someone, or regarding a matter, driving, when sitting in a car or getting out, when crossing the road. And there are many other religious and worldly manners in which people show hastiness. People getting in the car quickly, they bang their head, getting out of the car quickly, crossing the road, they get run over. All sorts of accidents happen. But we should not be hasty. We should make sure that we don't rush to that extent that we can cause damage to ourselves in this dunya and damage to ourselves in the akhirat as well. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the leader of the tribe of Abdul Qais, you have two such qualities that are beloved by Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one, forbearance, and number two, not being hasty. Sayyidina Sa'al bin Sa'di states that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, calmness is from Allah Azza wa Jal and haste is from Shaitan. Commenting on this hadith, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala states, doing worldly or religious works with calmness is from the inspiration of Allah Azza wa Jal, and hastening these works is shaitanic whisper. But from this translation and commentary, we come to know that this hadith is not in opposition to the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says, and run towards forgiveness from your Lord. And neither is it in opposition to the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says, and are swift to perform good deeds, as they are not delaying religious works, but instead running towards fulfilling them quickly, has been praised. Whereas, here in the hadith, it is referring to a person being hasty with the actual performance of their action, such that it gets ruined. That is what is prohibited. Some people offer 4 units of salah in 2 minutes. This is what hastiness is. And hastiness is a bad thing within the actual performance of an act of worship. Allahu Akbar. Allama Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Maki Shafi, Ramutullah Ta'ala states, haste is from Shaitan. However, he is not hasty himself. Rather, he slowly makes man fall into evil in such a way that he does not even realize. However, the one who ponders and reflects thoroughly before taking an action, he insight into it. Therefore, until you do not gain insight into a matter, you should not hasten into it, except in the case where it is wajib to do an action immediately, and there is no room to ponder and to reflect on it at all. And as Muslims, we need to be more disciplined. Islam teaches us about discipline. The five times in namaz teaches discipline. Getting up in the morning, reading the Fajr, the Zuhr, the Asr, the Maghrib, the Isha. What is this? Discipline. What is fasting during the month of Ramadan? Discipline. What is the Hajj? Every you perform in the Hajj is also about disciplining yourself. That you need to do this at this time. For this amount of time, you need to do this, you need to do that exactly like this. This is all about discipline. And if we can become disciplined in our ibadah, then we can become disciplined in the dunya as well. And if we become disciplined in the dunya, then inshaAllah azawajal will be successful in the dunya. And if we can become disciplined in our ibadah, then inshaAllah azawajal we can become disciplined in the hereafter as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Yusuf Madhishan, remember that, you know, a person cannot get to his destination if he is over speeding in his car and he has an accident. And nowadays, if we look around us, we see that people, you know, we hear about so many accidents that are happening. And one of the reasons that it's happening is that we are so busy rushing to get to our place. And not only that, we're trying to multitask. We get our phones out of our pockets. We've got, oh, I've got 50 messages I need to sort out. So we're going through our messages and we're driving at the same time and we're listening to the messages. We're looking at the messages. We're replying to the messages. We're driving at the same time. And because of this multitasking, what happens is if we're not careful, we can end up having accidents. And these accidents can again cause damage to ourselves, damage to others as well. And if it can, if as a result of us being hasty, if a result of us listening to that message 5 minutes before we could have listened to it later on, answering that message, replying to that message, giving a voice message or whatever it was, if a result of them acts, you have been involved in an accident. If a result of that act, the accident involves that somebody has lost the use of their limbs or Allah forbid, someone has lost their life, then reflect to yourself. And think to yourself, is it worth it that I watched that message 5 minutes earlier? I could have listened to that message 5 minutes later. What harm would it have been if I'd listened to it 5 minutes later? And so again, we need to have this mindset. But what happens is nowadays we have the culture developed inside us that no, it has to be done now. We have to do it now. We have to listen to the message now. We have to reply now. And you know, certain people will send you a message and say, oh no, it's urgent, it's urgent, it's urgent. You have to call me back, you have to call me back. And when you call them, the message or the thing that they want you to do is something that, even if it's not done for the next 3 months, it's not a problem. Yeah. They'll phone you up and say, oh, you know, it's really urgent that you need to call me. And okay, when? So when you call them up, they say, can you let me know when Ramadan is going to be or not? I'm going, well, Ramadan's a month away yet. You know, why do we need to know? Why is it so urgent that I need to know now? But it's just that they feel that they need to know that information right there and then. And because of that, viewers of my channel, this hastiness, it can cause problems for others as well. Because if you are hasty with others, then it puts pressure on them. They become mentally under pressure that, oh, he needs an answer now. I've got to reply to this now. And you see the messages on your phone. You think, oh, I've got 100 messages. I've got 200 messages. I've got 300 messages. And because of that pressure, it affects you mentally. Because of that pressure, you have mental problems. You get anxiety, you get depression. And as a result of that, what happens is when you're making your decisions, you're making rash decisions. You're making wrong decisions. So not only should we not be hasty, but we should also try to avoid putting other people in a position where they will be hasty as well. Again, another area where we are hasty, where we rush, is when we're eating our food. We're eating our food. You know, you run around all day to earn money so that you can buy food. And then when that food is in front of us, we're rushing again. We're rushing to eat our food. Why? Because, oh, I need to go back to work. I need to get my job done. I need to get this done. I need to get that. So we're rushing and eating our food. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should cool down hot food because there is no blessing in hot food. Allahu Akbar. How many of us eat hot food? We've got the food in our mouth. We're cooling the food down in our mouth. You know, let it cool down and eat it properly. Sayyidina Jubairiyah radiallahu ta'ala narrates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would dislike eating food before it stops steaming. So as the steam comes out again, we should avoid eating that food and let it cool down, viewers of my channel. Again, this calmness in all our actions, viewers of my channel, we need to, you know, take a step back. Just take a step back and calm down and then perform the action. It is stated in a hadith that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that calmness should be observed in everything except for the works of hereafter. So yes, viewers of the channel, there are situations where when it comes to the hereafter, then we should be hasty. We should rush towards them. We should try and complete them tasks. We should not refrain from them. For example, if a Hajj is farz upon you, then you should hastily go and perform the Hajj. You should not leave and thought, oh, you know, I'll do it next year. You know, I need to chill a little bit. I need to relax a little bit. I'll do it the year after. I'll do it the year after. I'll do it later. As soon as Hajj becomes farz upon you, then you should do it. As soon as your zakat becomes farz upon you, then you should pay the zakat. Don't wait for that. And in these sort of things, we should not be hasty. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Nimi, Rahmatullah, states that the meaning of this, it is good to take time in worldly matters, as it is possible that the matter is in question is harmful, but its harm becomes apparent after waiting, and thus we can avoid it. However, the works done for the hereafter are only beneficial. Whenever one gets a chance, he should perform it, lest he loses the opportunity due to delaying it. It is often seen that some people get an opportunity to perform Hajj, but they don't perform it, and then they don't get the chance again. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Surah Baqarah, verse 148, strive to surpass others in good deeds. You should compete with others in performing good deeds. Strive to be to the people in good deeds. So in the dunya, what do? We strive to compete with others in getting more money, getting more wealth, getting a better house, getting a better car. But do we strive? Do we look at business people and think, you know what? He's got that nice car. I'm going to do that business as well, so I can have that nice car. And we look up to them people, and we try and achieve the success that they've done. But is it real success? How do you know that he is as successful as you think? Behind the scenes, he might be in huge debts. He might have huge overdrafts. All you can see is the car, and you think, oh, I want to be like him. But how many times do we look at a pious person and think to Ya Allah, I wish that I could be pious like him. I wish I could do the ibadat like him. I wish I could read the Quran like him. I wish I could recite al-naat like him. I wish I could travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla like he does. Do we ever try to strive to even to be like them people? Whereas when it comes to the dunya, the successful people in the dunya, we strive to be like them. But those people that are the true successful people, the true successful people, viewers of the channel, will be those people that inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will enter them into paradise without accountability. But do we strive to be like them? Do we try to attain that success? So viewers of Manichan, there are certain areas in our life where making haste is necessary. And I'm just going to mention six of them. Number one, making haste when the time of Salah arrives. And again, this is a message for all of us, myself included. But what happens is, viewers of Manichan, the time for Namaz comes and we delay it. We read it, but what happens is last minute. I've got half an hour yet, it's okay. I've got 20 minutes yet, it's okay. I've got 10 minutes yet, I'll just take this phone call. And what happens is, last minute we rush, get out wuzu done quickly, read our namaz. That shouldn't be it. As soon as you become aware that it's the time for namaz, we should read it as soon as possible. Being hospitable to the guests when they arrive, when your guests are arriving, you need to be hasty and being hospitable to them. Don't just open the door and, okay, come in then. And they come in your front room, they sit there, and you go back in the back room watching a TV drama or watching something, and you leave them there. You need to be hospitable to them as soon as possible. Preparing the shroud and burial when a person passes away. When a person passes away, you should be hasty. You should be rushing towards getting this person to wash the dead body, to shroud the dead body, to bury the dead body as soon as possible. There should not be a delay in that, viewers on the channel. When someone passes away, and alhamdulillah, within the deen of Islam, we try to bury our dead as soon as possible. We try to have the graves ready and dug. We try to have the funeral areas ready. We have the shrouds already ready and available so that as soon as someone passes away, within 24 hours, if not less, that person is buried. And we should rush to do that. We should be hasty in that. Marrying off one's daughter after she becomes balik. Again, as soon as our daughters become to that age, then we should wait. And as soon as a good rishta comes along, then we should marry off our daughters as well. Quickly paying off a debt when the time of repayment comes. If you borrowed money off someone, you've taken £1,000 off someone, you said to them, I'll pay you back on the 1st of August, I'll pay you back on the 1st of September, then you should make sure that you pay that person back before the 1st of August, before the 1st of September. And if you have the opportunity, pay it before. Don't wait until then and then avoid him. Don't answer his calls, don't open the door, don't go down the street where he works, don't go down the street where he lives and avoid him. Again, when it comes to paying off your debt, you should be hasty in paying off. If unfortunately you're in a situation where you cannot pay that person's debt off, then you should go to that person and say, brother, I'm sorry. You know, I agreed 1st of August, but I got this problem. You know, please, you know, can you give me a bit of an extension? And if you say it in a nice way, if you're polite, then hopefully, inshallah, he will, you know, accept your request. However, he may say to the look, brother, I'm stuck. I need this money. I'm desperate. And then maybe you will have to borrow some money of someone else to pay him. But again, don't just ignore these people. And finally, viewers of Manchester, the most important thing that we need to be hasty in, that we need to rush in, is if you commit a sin, be hasty in repenting from that sin. As soon as you commit a sin, don't think, you know what, I'll wait till the namaz, I'll wait till Jummah. Yeah, Jummah, when we're in the masjid, there's a lot of people there. Imam Sahib will do a good dua and I'll repent from them sins. I'll wait for the Thursday Ijtima, the Ijtima, when they do a good dua, then I'll repent from my sins. No. As soon as we commit a sin, we should straight away repent from them sins. Viewers of the channel, in today's Beyond, we've learned about being hasty. And in many, many acts, if we are hasty, then it can be a cause of destruction for us. And if we think about carefully the Beyond today, then in those areas where we are hasty, then maybe we shouldn't be hasty. And in them areas where we are lazy, then maybe we should be hasty. And it's a time for us to reflect. And I pray that the viewers of my channel that are watching this will reflect and think about what I've said today. And hopefully as a result of that, we'll adjust our life, we'll make a change in our life and become hasty when we need to be and not to become hasty when we don't need to be. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah accept what I have said, that you understand what I have said, that I understand what I have said, I act upon what I have said, you act upon what I have said as well, and pass it on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu alil habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For you, it's my prayer. May you keep a sin.